Palm Sunday, Year A, Commemoration of the Lord's Entrance. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When they were near Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village facing you, and you will at once find a tethered donkey and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you are to say, 'The Lord needs them,' and will send them back at once." This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" So the disciples went and did as Jesus had told them. They brought the donkey and the colt. Then they laid their clothes on their backs, and he took his seat on them. A great crowd spread their clothes on the road, while others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in his path. The crowds who went in front of him and those who followed were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who is coming in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heavens!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil as people asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. "The Lord God has given me a disciple's tongue, to know how to comfort the weary with a word. Morning by morning he sharpens my ear, to listen like a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I did not rebel or turn away. I offered my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. I did not turn away my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God comes to my help. Therefore no insult has touched me. Therefore I have set my face like flint. I know that I shall not be shamed." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me? My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
All who see me deride me. They curl their lips, they shake their heads. He trusted in the Lord, let him save him. Let him release him, for in him he delights.
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
For dogs have surrounded me, a band of tormentors all round me. They tear holes in my hands and my feet. I can count every one of my bones.
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
They divide my clothing among them, casting lots for my robe. But you, O Lord, do not stay far off. My strength, make haste to help me.
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
I will tell of your name to my people and praise you in the midst of the assembly. You who fear the Lord, give him praise. All offspring of Jacob, give him glory. Revere him, all you offspring of Israel.
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Who, being in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, born in human likeness, and found in human shape. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, death on a cross. And therefore God highly exalted him, and granted him the name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of beings heavenly, earthly, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Christ became obedient for us even to death, dying on the cross. Therefore God raised him on high and gave him a name above all other names. Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Then one of the 12, the man called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you prepared to give me if I hand him over to you?" They settled with him for 30 silver pieces, and from then onwards he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus to say, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" Jesus replied, "Go to a certain man in the city and say to him, 'The teacher says this, my time is near. It is at your house that I am keeping Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples did what Jesus told them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, he was at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you is about to betray me." They were greatly distressed and started asking him in turn, "Not me, Lord, surely." Jesus replied, "Someone who has dipped his hand into the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man is going to his fate, as it is written about him. But alas for that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had never been born." Judas, who was to betray him, asked in his turn, "Not me, Rabbi, surely." Jesus said, "It is you who say it." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had said the blessing, he broke it, and giving it to the disciples, he said, "Take it and eat. This is my body." Then taking a cup, after giving thanks, he handed it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood, the blood of the covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. From now on, I tell you, I shall never again drink wine until the day I drink the new wine with you in the kingdom of my Father." Having sung the psalms, they left for the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away from me tonight, for it is written, 'I shall strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you into Galilee." At this, Peter said to him, "Even if all fall away from you, I will never fall away." Jesus answered him, "Amen, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the disciples spoke similarly. Then Jesus came with them to a plot of land called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." He took Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee with him, and he began to feel sadness and anguish. Then he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful to the point of death. Wait here and stay awake with me." And going on a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Only not as I want, but as you." He came back to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, you had not the strength to stay awake with me for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray not to enter into temptation. The spirit is eager, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cup cannot pass by unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came back again and found them sleeping, for their eyes were weighed down. Leaving them there, he went away again and prayed for the 3rd time, repeating the same words. Then he came back to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep on now and have your rest. Look, the hour is near when the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is near." And suddenly, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent by the chief priests and elders of the people. Now the traitor had given them a sign, saying, "The one I kiss, he is the man. Take charge of him." So he went up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "My friend, do what you are here for." Then they came forward, laid hands on Jesus, and took charge of him. And suddenly, one of the followers of Jesus grasped his sword and drew it, he struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, who would promptly send more than 12 legions of angels to my defense? But then, how would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must happen this way?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to capture me, as though I were a bandit? Day by day I sat teaching in the temple, and you did not lay hands on me." Now all this happened so that the scriptures of the prophets should be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and ran away. The men who had arrested Jesus led him off to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Peter followed him at a distance, right to the courtyard of the high priest, and he went inside and sat down with the attendants to see what the end would be. The chief priests and the whole council were looking for false evidence against Jesus, on which they might have him executed. But they could not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Eventually, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I have power to destroy the temple of God, and in 3 days build it up.'" Then the high priest rose and said to him, "Have you no answer to the evidence these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus was silent. And the high priest said to him, "I put you on oath by the living God to tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus answered him, "It is you who say it. Only I tell you that from this time onward you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? See now, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They said in answer, "He deserves to die." Then they spat in his face and hit him with their fists, saying, "Prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you?" Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him, saying, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it in front of them all, saying, "I do not know or understand what you mean." When he went out into the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This man was with Jesus the Nazarene." And again, with an oath, he denied it, "I do not know the man." A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "You are certainly one of them too. Why, your accent gives you away." Then he started cursing and swearing, "I do not know the man." And at once the cock crowed. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people met in council to bring about the death of Jesus. They bound him, took him off, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus had been condemned, he was filled with remorse and took the 30 silver pieces back to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They replied, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And flinging down the silver pieces in the sanctuary, he made off and went and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the silver pieces and said, "It is not permissible to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they discussed the matter and with it bought the potter's field as a graveyard for foreigners. And this is why the field has been called the field of blood till this day. The word spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was then fulfilled. And they took the 30 silver pieces, the sum at which the precious one was priced by the children of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, just as the Lord directed me. Jesus then was brought before the governor, and the governor put to him this question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Pilate then said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they are bringing against you?" But he did not answer a single word to him. so the governor was amazed. At festival time, it was the governor's practice to release a prisoner for the people, anyone they chose. Now they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Which do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" For Pilate knew it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. Now as he was seated in the chair of judgment, his wife sent him a message. "Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I have been extremely upset today by a dream that I had about him." The chief priests and the elders, however, had persuaded the crowds to ask for the release of Barabbas and the execution of Jesus. So when the governor spoke and asked them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" "Barabbas," the crowd answered. Pilate said to them, "What then am I to do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" The crowd said, "Let him be crucified." Pilate, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." Then Pilate, seeing that he was making no impression, but rather that a riot was imminent, took some water, washed his hands in front of the crowd, and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood. You see to it." And the whole people shouted back, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas for them. After having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus with them into the praetorium and collected the whole cohort around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet cloak around him. And having twisted some thorns into a crown, they put this on his head and placed a reed in his right hand. To make fun of him, they knelt to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat at him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took off the cloak and dressed him in his own clothes and led him away to crucifixion. On their way out, they came across a man from Cyrene called Simon and enlisted him to carry his cross. When they had reached a place called Golgotha, which is called the place of the skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, which he tasted but refused to drink. When they had crucified him, they shared out his clothing by casting lots, and then, sitting down, they guarded him there. And they placed above his head the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then they crucified two bandits with him, one on his right and one on his left. The passers-by jeered at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and in 3 days rebuild it, save yourself if you are God's son and come down from the cross." The chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him in the same way with the words, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He has put his trust in God. Now let God rescue him if he wants him. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" In the same way, even the bandits who were crucified with him taunted him. From noon onwards, there was darkness over all the land until mid-afternoon. And at that time, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders then heard this, they said, "He's calling on Elijah." And one of them at once ran to get a sponge, which he filled with vinegar, and putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest of them said, "Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to save him." But Jesus, again crying out in a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. And suddenly the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, the rocks were split, the tombs opened, and the bodies of many holy people rose from the dead. And these, after his resurrection, came out of their tombs, entered the holy city, and appeared to a number of people. The centurion, together with the others guarding Jesus, had seen the earthquake and all that was taking place. And they were terrified and said, "In truth, this man was Son of God." and many women were there, watching from a distance, the same women who had followed Jesus from Galilee and looked after him. Among them were Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. When it was evening, there came a rich man of Arimathea, called Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be handed over. So Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and put it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a large stone to the doorway of the tomb and went away. Now Mary of Magdala and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the sepulchre. Next day, that is, when preparation day was over, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said to him, "Sir, we recall that this deceiver said, 'While he was still alive, after 3 days I shall rise again.' Therefore, give the order to have the sepulchre kept secure until the third day, for fear his disciples come and steal him away and tell the people, 'He has been raised from the dead.' This last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go and make all as secure as you know how." So they went and made the sepulchre secure, putting seals on the stone with the guard. The end of the reading.